Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
Let's go back to your to your rugby career. You mentioned Eddie Jones there. I know he's somebody that you really got on well with. And I was just looking, I was considering those that you played under with England. So I'm trying to get it in the right order now. Was it Martin Johnson first?
Brian Ashton,
then Martin Johnson, then Stuart Lancaster, then Eddie Jones.
Yes.
I'll take the two kind of high profile of those four, Eddie Jones and Jono. How would you compare and contrast their management styles? What was it like playing under them?
I think they were completely different, personalities, completely different requirements from each one. You know, I've said this before, I think, you know, Martin Johnson was unfairly thrown under the bus in 2011. I think that if he had been allowed to come in, completely clear the decks, select his own coaches, own people and everything else like that, and done something, built it from the ground up, I think he could have done some great, great stuff. He didn't do that for whatever reason, for loyalty, because, you know, and everything else. And I think, you know, he was... you know, he was a guy that didn't have a lot of experience in international coaching or no experience at all, and came in to take that job where, you know, he was inspirational. He was a figurehead. You know, he was you know, but you need the strong people under. Eddie, on the other hand, is very much, you know, when he stands at the front of, you know, a meeting the very first day and says, you know, we're number five in the world. Do you think we deserve that? I'm going to take you to number one in the world and I'm going to get you to a World Cup final. You know, because he's taken Australia to a World Cup final, he's won a World Cup with South Africa, you know he's going to be able to do it. And he, for me, had the perfect balance of being task-focused and people-focused. He understood that the player is a commodity. You've got to build a relationship. You can't just be task-focused. You've got to build that relationship. You've got to create an environment that's all about winning. But not, people talk about winning and they write points on a whiteboard at the beginning of a meeting. 6 months down the line, no one gives a crap about what was on there. You have to live the habits every single day. You have to make sure you get the right balance of personalities, people prepared to work. You know, Dylan Hartley was an unbelievable captain underneath him and did probably, Lawrence Dallaglio for me was probably one of the best captains I ever had. And in certain ways, Dylan's up there as well in other ways because of the way he led. And, you know, when you're in this generation, dressing people down is quite a scary thing to do. We don't have awkward conversations. You know, we do everything remotely, hide behind emails. Everyone's a tough man behind an email. It's difficult to tell you someone's face going, actually, this isn't going right. And Dylan was fantastic at that with the players, organising them, getting them on board. And they balanced out really well. But Eddie was light years ahead because he constantly reinvented himself, constantly reinvented the environment, was very clear about what he wanted, but built a relationship with the players, constantly wanted to help players be better. And when he talked about winning and doing stuff, you know, we did it. And everybody in that environment turned around after the first month of winning games with him, and we're like, where's he been all our lives? This is the best environment we ever worked in. We need to be the best we can be because we don't want to lose this.
And did he give you a bespoke approach? Did he recognise you as individuals?
Yes, he did. You know, I was always very much like, a lot of coaches couldn't reconcile how I could work so hard on the training field, be the last off the training field with my work ethic, then still have a personality, still be the loudest, gobshite, do whatever. But Eddie wanted that. You know, Eddie was like, from the first moment we came on board, was like, you know, Hask, you're a really important part. I need you to do this. I want you to be a leader. And he asked my opinion. He treated me like somebody who was there instead of other coaches who were very much like, you know, we want you to entertain the lads, you're an important part, but Christ, don't speak. I had most caps at one point. I was never in any leadership meetings, never in anything. But all as the Die Young showed at WASS, all I needed was someone to back me and make me a leader. And I grew into that role and took the responsibility. And I think I was a good captain of WASPs. And then, you know, same with England in terms of taking a leadership role. I did what I could do. And I felt like I played a really important role in that team. And the guys have said so. And when I went and saw them in the World Cup in 2019 on that final week, Eddie thanked me and you know, and said that what a great role. And that was nice. It put the kind of ghost of me playing to England to rest. The boys gave me a round of applause and I felt part of it, you know.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.